providing a balanced meal, and so much more. Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Arliss Smit in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. When putting together a budget for a loved one in a senior living community, don't forget to include things outside of room and board. Professional fees, insurance premiums, medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, undergarments, nutrition shakes, clothing, toiletries, charitable contributions, hobbies, and favorite snacks. Even if he or she doesn't need some of those things now, they may later. Considering the possibility could help ensure their independence and your peace of mind. Now back to our topic, Meals on Wheels. Joining me to talk more about it is Arliss Smit. Arliss is the program coordinator for this special service made possible through the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate
you,
it.
You bet. When we talk about good nutrition, Arliss, what are we really talking about?
Well, a well-balanced meal. Our funding is requiring us to provide a meal that has one-third of the RDA. So in order for us to count that as a meal, legitimate Meals on Wheels, it has to meet those certain guidelines. And our funding through the Older American Act is very specific about what makes up a one-third of the RDA. But we're talking about, you know, 3 ounces of meat, a cup of fruit, 3 ounces of vegetables, those kinds of things, milk serving. So we have bare minimum requirements that we meet for a balanced meal that can be served.
Okay, and good nutrition, of course, very important for people of all ages, but especially our older adults. Why?
Well, of course, everybody needs good nutrition, but as for the older individuals, you know, we're looking at being able to provide them a well-balanced meal that will enhance their health issues, their memory, their energy levels. Maybe it's a way to prone off any future illnesses that might come. It's you know, kind of a defense thing for them. It might be a way to help them cope with some of the chronic illnesses that they already are dealing with. That if they have a well-balanced meal, you know, maybe there are some vitamins that they wouldn't necessarily get if they made their own meals that they're going to get with a well-balanced meal.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Easy for so many of us to take just that idea of a meal for granted, and yet so many of our older adults are really struggling to be able to put food on the table. Talk to us a little bit, Arliss, about what Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging is seeing in terms of the real need for these people.
I went back to a very wonderful webpage from the Meals on Wheels America, and they listed each state and some statistics for each state. So for 2019 for Nebraska, they were talking about like 27% of the seniors in the state live alone. Well, that in itself is going to be indicative of what might lie next as far as issues with nutrition. I don't want to cook for one person, and I'm in good health. So you have another older person with 20 years on. They're not wanting to stand in the kitchen and, oh yeah, then I need protein, I need vegetable, I need a fruit. They're not going to do it. They're just going to do what they're used to cooking, which may not always be the best. It might be repetitive day after day kind of thing with no variety and no well-balanced issues, you know. I don't want to cook for one person. Sometimes I don't want to cook for two people because I get bored, and I can't help but think that as older people would be even more bored trying to come up with a well-planned menu for the day or for the next few days. Yeah.
Talk about some of those other reasons, Arliss. I know financial is immediately coming to mind in terms of why especially our older adults are not getting the nutrition that they need.
Yeah. Well, just the physical issues, you know. Do they have the stamina to stand at the kitchen and a counter and, you know, cut the produce, clean the produce, get the, you know, just the physical issues that it takes to stand there for a period of time and the cleanup processes that go with it, too. You know, cooking's one thing, but they got to have, you know, a clean kitchen to do it the next time around. The other kind of thing would be related to shopping. Do they have the stamina to get to the grocery store and what it takes to get in the store, do the shopping, do the checkout, get it back in the car, go home, unload it, and, you know, all of the basic things that we do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't think about it.
COVID-19 has had an impact, obviously, on so many different things and obviously populations. Mm-hmm. What have you seen in terms of the impact COVID-19 has had on our older adults?
Are you referring to like the clients that were already
serving? Yep, just from your perspective, yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. We've changed our delivery systems. We've changed how we get them delivered, who's delivering them. You know, it isn't a simple answer. When this first hit 6 months ago, you know, our phones just rang off the hook. I don't want my mom and dad going out. Will you please deliver meals? You know, I can't get out. I'm afraid to go out. And that's when the stores were, even before they had the special hours for certain populations, you know, that kind of thing. We don't hear as much about that as we did back then, but people were scared, you know, they didn't want to go out. So we were very much inundated with referrals for trying to get people signed up for the program. We still had to implement our guidelines for the program. You know, we have certain obligations to meet criteria, so we had to follow our guidelines to make sure that we saved our dollars for the people who really needed them. So, but as far as the delivery is concerned, we stopped our normal protocol, which would have been, depending on the client's situation, you know, we would knock, ring the bell, wait for them to come. Maybe they would have a half a minute, a minute of conversation with the client, you know, hand them the meal. Now, or in some cases, if we knew and have the instructions for the delivery, the driver might just knock and walk in, and the client would be sitting in their living room, and they would just ask the delivery people to put the meal on the counter in the kitchen, and then they'd let themselves out. There are even some clients who had some actual physical issues that perhaps they couldn't open the milk, they couldn't open the meal, so the delivery person would take an extra moment and take care of that. Well, now we can't even go in. So what we've done is, you know, asked all of the delivery people to take a plastic bag, for which we supply, and put the meal in there, and then they're to knock or ring the doorbell. And the client, we hope, has a place that they can let them set it down on a chair by the door or hang it on the doorknob, and then the delivery people step back and wait for the client to answer the door and try to have a conversation through the door or 6 feet away. Maybe some clients will just stand at the window next to the door and wave. So it has eliminated that the personal contact, even if it were for a minute or so. Yeah,
which is, especially in terms of what we're going through now, very unfortunate. Let's back up just a little bit. You are speaking so articulately and wonderfully about this program. No surprise, Arliss, talk to us about your history with Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging and kind of bring us up to speed on how you're involved with Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, well, I started 41 years ago. I was very, very fortunate that when I was finishing my master's degree at UNO in counseling and gerontology, I was able to do an internship at the Office on Aging. And right after that, then there was a position open in basically what would be equal to the Information and Assistance Department now. It wasn't called that back then. And so I was hired then for that position. Since then, I had a couple of years that I worked with that was then called the Senior Employment Program. And then I transferred over to the senior centers. So, but it was, I think, in 1989, then I switched over to the Meals on Wheels program. So that's 31 years now in the Meals on Wheels program.
So when you say you switched over,
yeah,
what was going on at that time where, I mean, were you drawn to the program? Were you invited by somebody who recognized something in you to be able to take what has really become a very popular, well-known, help to people in this community? So how did that happen that you went from one place to the other?
Well, prior to 1989, the ANOA was actually contracting with the Visiting Nurses Association, and they were the provider of the service in town back then, and it was called Mobile Meals. And so in the summer of 1979, ANOA decided to not contract with the VNA and actually provide the service themselves. So the position was open to gear it up and have ANOA become the actual provider. And I saw it as a challenge, and I thought, time for a switch, let me go do that. I didn't dream I'd be here 31 years later doing the same position. But I was ready for something different, and it seemed like a challenge.
Well, that begs the question then, Arliss. Why are you here 31 years later, working with this program? What has kept you so engaged?
Sometimes I ask myself that too, but I don't know. I've just always worked with the elderly all this time, and I know that the work that we do, my staff is a wonderful staff, that we provide a good service to our community, and it feels good to go home and know you've done something good for 600 clients in a day.
Okay. Yeah. Take us a little bit behind the scenes. For those of us familiar with the program, right, you put meals into a van, the wheels portion, and then you bring them to people's homes as you've just described. But like anything else, there's a process involved here. Those meals don't just come up out of thin air and, place themselves in the back of a van. What is the process of getting these nutritional meals together?
Well, we have a contract with a catering service. So, a normal thing on a day would be to let the contractor know how many meals we need for the next day. We have a system of paperwork as far as routing clients' addresses. So we've got like 30-some routes in the greater metro area. Some of those routes are actually delivered by volunteers. About 3/4 of all of our meals every day are actually delivered by part-time pay employees. Most of our part-timers are retired from their full-time vocation, but they weren't really ready to retire or not want to just sit home. They wanted to provide a service, and it's a nice little part-time job. So about 2.5 to 3 hours per day.
What ground do you cover, Arliss? And then drill down a little bit more, please, in terms of how many people it takes to get that accomplished.
Yeah. As far as we have what we refer to as the Metro program, which would be obviously all of Omaha, Bellevue, Papillion, Gretna, Elkhorn, Waterloo, all around in there. Then we have another program that operates through us right in the city of Blair and right in the city of Fremont. So that's how we hit those cities as well. But it takes some staff over at the catering office our staff at the catering service to get coolers marked. This route just needs this many meals. This route needs this many meals. This route and so on. And they all have to get dispersed into the right section so they get loaded onto the right vans, So it is a process,
Okay.
Yeah.
And about how many people does it take?
Well, we have like 4 part-time people over at the catering service on a daily basis, and then we have 4.5 positions here in the office that takes care of the phone calls, the intakes to stop people, the computer systems to run the route sheets, it takes a lot of manpower to get that done.
Okay, let's get to the heart of this program, which is the older adults you serve. And we likely will have people listening who are thinking, You know what? This would be a really good idea for my mom or dad or my grandparent. Talk about the criteria for folks who are able to get into the program, and then just briefly walk us through that intake that you referenced.
Yeah. Basically, we want to serve the individuals who, one, have difficulty cooking. If they live alone, is generally the scenario for them. But if it's two people, it's generally both of them have an issue. You know, maybe the wife has become ill and the husband never learned how to cook, and she's in the hospital, and now what are we going to do? That kind of thing. We say they should be homebound, but, you know, that's kind of a looser kind of criteria from the point of view of, well, they're still going to go to the doctor, you know, those kinds of things. It's not totally, totally homebound. But we don't want to serve an individual that then can go and to a restaurant and have another meal. We for the most part, they are homebound, just not completely. You know, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that they don't have somebody else living with them that could provide the meal instead. So they have to be 60 years of age or older. That's how our funding has been written by the Older Americans Act way back in 1965 when that started. We have two types of clients that we serve. The one type of client is ones where they have been authorized to receive their meals through the Department of Health and Human Services. So they have met the income guidelines for their program and their need for the service. And so they will send us what we call an authorization to get somebody started, and you will serve this client from this date to this date until they get reauthorized. For the under individuals that don't meet the criteria for the Health and Human Services Department, then we ask clients to contribute toward the cost of the service, and that suggested contribution amount is based upon their monthly income and then applied to a sliding scale. Just like all of the other programs that ANOA offers that are funded by the Older Americans Act, it's all on a contribution basis. Nobody will be denied services if they don't make a contribution. In fact, the programs that get funded by Older Americans funds here at the office, we don't ever see those contributions. We don't know who's making a contribution. That all goes right to the fiscal department, to the accounting department.
Okay. I think anytime I'm talking with somebody about a program, you know, I like to ask if there is a story that you can share. Like when somebody says, Arliss, tell me about Meals on Wheels, is there that person that comes to mind for you that really does drive that story home?
You know, I can think of clients where we've had difficulty with them, but that's not the story you want to hear. I don't know. You just the smiles that we receive, you know. I get sad when we have to deliver now wearing a mask, that you can't see that smile, you know. They can't see our smile probably more than anything. So, but we make a difference. I hear the gratitude in the clients. You know, God bless you. Thank you for this, doing this in these difficult times. So there is an expressed gratitude that is being purveyed over the phone with these clients when they talk to us.
Excellent. Well, I want to be sure to give people the necessary information. Again, Arliss Smith with Meals on Wheels. Your phone number, best way for people to reach this program?
I'm going to give them the actual information and assistance phone, because there may be needing to ask other questions other than the meals program. So that would be 402-444-6536. Yeah.
And the website?
ENOA.org.
I'd like to thank Arliss for joining us, and my husband Mike for making us sound so good, and of course to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholski, inviting you to join us again as we will be posting new segments every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.